Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This is Mike Haas, and we are now joined by sideline reporter Jeff Nowak, who's been busy today watching that wire, watching the Saints releases, and then finally official, and got the 53. They got the guys that they waived and put on the terminated the contracts. I guess just, Jeff, before we kind of get too deep into it, is it if I looked at your 53, you know, that you did last night or this morning compared to the 53 other wildly significant differences?
There's a few. They kept more linebackers than I expected. They kept more wide receivers than I expected. You know, the numbers really were the biggest difference. I wouldn't say that I necessarily was super far off on the players that were kept. It's just like, you know, I was between a few at wide receiver. You know, are they going to keep Bub Means? Are they going to keep Mason Tipton? They kept both. Right, at linebacker, you're looking at Jalen Ford. He's been dealing with an injury. DeMarco Jackson's been dealing with an injury. Maybe that opens the door for a Kalik Hudson. They didn't keep him. They kept both the injured guys. So that was really the main difference, is guys that I wasn't sure about. Hey, you haven't seen him in the preseason games, but you know, they've shown enough that you want to keep him around. Mason Tipton was the one that I really had no gauge on, and it's good to see him stick around, and it tells you how much they like Mason Tipton, that they kept him around despite not seeing him in a single preseason game. I've heard some people say, like, oh, it's like Rashid Shaheed, they're trying to hide him. I don't think that's what was happening at all. I think if he was healthy enough to play, they would have got him out there. Because if you remember, they cut Rashid. Rashid didn't make the initial 53-man roster, and there's a benefit of maybe hiding a guy when you want to sneak him on the practice squad. When you're talking about, we want to keep this guy, you want to get as much tape as possible. So that was a big one. That was a big one for me. The other one, you know, if you're talking about calling it correctly, I actually did have Rico Payton on my 53. You know, I had them keeping five cornerbacks. Obviously, the four that everyone knows, Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, Alante Taylor, and Kool-Aid McKinstry. And then I was kind of between a few other guys. Shamar John Charles, you know, I talked to his camp this morning, and they were a little disappointed. They felt like, hey, he had a really good camp, and he did, but he wasn't able to make it. Obviously, he was running with the ones, but they're both outside corners were hurt, so That does skew things a little bit. But I just think they felt like they could not get Rico Payton through waivers. You know, I talked to his camp as well, and they said they were getting calls from other teams kind of inquiring, like, hey, do you think you're going to get cut? Because, you know, we'll be interested. And so I think that played a role. I don't think the Saints felt like they could sneak him through waivers. You know, it was a pretty interesting day, right? You've got a new punter for the second year in a row, Lou Headley, was the first cut of the day, at least as far as the reporting was concerned. So we'll see if Matt Haball is the guy. I'm not willing to put a stamp on it yet, because I think we have to get through waivers before we celebrate anything for a lot of these guys. But it was for sure an interesting cutdown day.
No, I agree. And I think the beneficiary of the position battle, the six wide receivers, six linebackers, is the fact that they have eight offensive linemen, probably go between 10 and 12 when you look at the active plus the practice squad, but we're not there yet. So they have eight as we speak. And, you know, I was watching, you know, the released names today and numbers, and certainly offensive line played a big role. I got to believe that's going to be an area of aggression when they start looking at the waiver wire and who they can pick up.
No question. Eight offensive line. Like, that number alone tells you that there's at least one player on the 53-man roster that's gonna end up moving away. Because you're not. I think nine is the number that you want on the active roster. Obviously, there's not a perfect number, but eight's just not enough, right? When you talk about backing up each position. So we'll see. The other position that was interesting is defensive tackle, and I have to wonder if Colin Saunders' injury, dealing with a calf issue, was a factor. Because I did not, for the life of me, think they were going to keep five defensive tackles. I thought they might keep three. Usually four is a safe number, but you're talking about, you know, Nathan Shepard, Colin Saunders, then Brian Brzee, Christian Boyd, the rookie, and Kendall Vickers, who I did not expect to be kept. And I do wonder if the depth issue there with Collins' injury maybe was a factor. They only used one of those IR slots that they could have in the preseason. So that's helpful in terms of, I think you're optimistic that some of these guys with injuries like Nick Saldiveri, Jalen Ford, DeMarco Jackson, they're not going to miss significant time. You're hopeful to get them back in the first month of the season. But and you wonder, okay, are there players that they're going to shift to IR? But they could have done that today if they wanted to. So I think that is a pretty safe indicator that some of these guys will be coming back.
All right, they could have done it with two. They did it with one, and that was Kendre Miller, designated to return. So he is out for a minimum of four, could return as early as week five at Kansas City, which is just – it's just to say that sentence for that guy who was at the first practice and had the, you know, the hamstring issue, it's just baffling. It's just baffling. But I want him to be out there. Yeah, I think he's, you know, he's a young kid. I want him to get out there and you know, learn to be an NFL player. And I think he's got the skills. It's just the whole thing is just baffling.
Yeah, it's frustrating because, you know, it's funny because you look at Isaiah Foskey and you look at Kendre Miller, and I think they're both kind of talked about as players that I've heard a lot of people saying, hey, cut both of these guys. Now, I think in year two, you're not going to do that unless there are mitigating factors beyond struggling on the field, which I think would have to be the case to cut Foskey. And the thing is, you're talking about a player who, by all accounts, is doing everything right. He's working hard. The coaches say that he's taking steps in practice. We're not necessarily seeing that in the game. And that alone, in year two for a second-round pick, is enough to keep you on the roster. Right? Like, this is a team that scouted you. They have faith that you'll develop over time. With Kendre, it's the opposite, where we've seen him flash on the field. We've seen him. That Week 18 game, I would argue, was the best single running back game of any running back last year, right, in terms of the performances they've had. The Saints had, I've said this stat a million times, the Saints had two plays of 30-plus yards from the running back position last year. Kendre Miller had both of them. One was in Week 5 against the Patriots. One was in Week 9 against the Bears. It was the play he hurt his ankle on. So the explosive plays on the running back position, you look at Kendre and you're like, this is a guy who can provide those, but he just can't stay on the field. And hopefully it's a wake-up call. I mean, I feel like we've been saying that, but, you know, they could have cut bait. They chose not to. And so hopefully he kind of sees this as a come-to-Jesus moment where it's like, okay, I need to get this straightened out. I need to get healthy. I need to get on the field. DA hasn't exactly pulled punches in terms of how he feels about the situation, and that's putting it lightly. So, yeah, hopefully this is something that we look at halfway through the season and we're like, okay, this was a turning point for him. Because, you know, the running back position is, it's two older guys and then a young guy who I don't think would be on the roster if Kendre had taken that spot in Jordan Mims. And Kendre's absence has opened the door for Jordan Mims. So we should talk about that in the extent of he took advantage of that opportunity. James Robinson had a good camp. Jacob Cabote had a really strong finish to his camp. But we've been talking about Jordan Mims the entire way. He's a guy who showed up at rookie minicamp this year. He didn't have to do that. He showed up because he wanted to. He wanted to put in the extra work. He wanted to learn the playbook. And, you know, I think that commitment benefited him. And I think if you can combine, you know, if you could get that level of commitment out of Kendre to some extent, I think he'd be in a much better situation. So, yeah, well, he's going to be someone we keep talking about. Hopefully he can get back sooner rather than later and kind of get up to speed so that by week five you feel comfortable playing him if there's an opportunity to. But certainly not someone that you feel particularly excited about, especially when, you know, we just watched Tajay Spears. And he continues to be a guy that people are going to be kind of wringing their hands over. Well, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, no, I agree. That was tough with Tajay because you get that automatic comparison. We knew that would come. It is what it is. Hopefully he can get out there soon. Take a break. Come back with Saints Sideline Reporter, digital reporter for Odyssey, Jeff Nowak. We're back after this. This is the Saints Hour on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, everybody. Mike Cost along with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak as we're talking about the Saints. I'm sorry, I just had a breath mint, and it's kind of like going down wrong. I'm like, sorry.
This is live.
I'm like, here we go. All right. With Jeff Nowak.
Wait, can we talk about something?
Oh, God.
Mike, making crazy noises. I just want to shout out your call of the Samson Nakua kick return was one of my favorite moments on the broadcast in years. And for perspective, and I don't know if most people realize this, as I'm standing on the sideline, I'm getting your calls piped into my ears in real time. So as I'm watching this moment unfold, I'm hearing you screaming, "No!" It made the moment so much better. So I wanted to mention that because it was one of my favorite moments on the sideline so far.
I just couldn't believe he ran that far. I go, come on, it's preseason. Let it go. The cat ran 106 yards. Come on, man. Turn those machines back on. And the funny part was, I won't spend a lot of time on this, I kind of was late to it because we were talking about the play itself. And he was talking about Devin Hester. And that's not where I go. I immediately go to Auburn versus Alabama. And so my head was still in Auburn, Alabama. And I go, oh, hey, caught the ball. Okay, here we go. So, man, it was a heck of a run. That's unbeknownst to me, was where I was going to begin. It's a little, you know, cut 53 fact. The Saints today cut the brothers, or released the brothers, of two all-pro receivers. You don't see that very often. Samson Nakua and Equanimeous St. Brown. Clearly, both of them have more NFL playing to do. Hopefully, see what happens tomorrow. But and it's those two, Equanimeous really fell behind the eight ball with the injury. And it seemed like it was so hard for him to come back. But they both have similar body types, similar size, and just kind of that hunger to go up and get the football and go across the middle and do what's needed. I feel like there's more there.
Yeah, I kind of felt like going into the training camp that one of Cedric Wilson or Equanimeous St. Brown was going to kind of take that role of the veteran blocking receiver, right? Like, it just made sense. You don't need a whole room of those guys, but you do need at least one of those guys. You know, like there's a reason Traquan Smith was here for as long as he was because he was that guy. And once Cedric Wilson kind of took over that role and never really gave it back, which was helped by the injury, right?
A bunch of them.
Tough to see a route.
I mean, that's how Samson got there.
It was tough to see a route for I'm sorry, say that again?
I said that's how Samson even arrived here. They had so many receivers out at one point, you know, that the other guys were getting an opportunity.
Right. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that's where you were. And Equanimeous, I think, you know, I think that tape that he put out in week three is going to help him sign somewhere else. He's a vested veteran, so he doesn't have to go through the waiver system. So he can kind of shop around and say, hey, who wants this, right? Because I clearly still have something to give. Samson, I expect to, if he clears waivers, to get to the practice squad. And that's kind of where we're at right now with a lot of these guys who got cut, at least the non-veteran players, like the Charlie Smiths of the world and guys like that who – you know, you're just kind of waiting and seeing. And then I think a lot of those guys you want to get on the practice squad. And it's just a question of whether you can. But, you know, Samson, I wish I'd seen more from him in the preseason games. I think he had one catch, and it was on the final drive against the Cardinals.
Yeah, the back shoulder.
He had a diving attempt in that game on Sunday. But I like Samson. He's a really funny story. You know, just for, you know, one's kind of note, when he was talking in the locker room, he said, like, when Darren sent him out there to return that kick, he didn't really understand why, because he was like 58 yards. That seems like a normal length kick. Why would we assume this was short? And I think that's just like some skewed perspective from watching Charlie Smith make 65 yarders look routine. And so suddenly it's like, oh, wait, 58 yards is a long kick for most of the rest of the world, just not Charlie. But no, Samson's a really, really intriguing guy, a really funny story. So I hope you can, a fun story. So I hope you can stick around.
Well, we appreciate it, my friend. Tomorrow we will start a new day, get that practice squad. And then, you know, I feel like this is going to be a very busy, busy team from the waiver wire, from a backup standpoint, or maybe who knows, maybe, you know, into this 53. And I appreciate it as always. And we'll talk tomorrow.
Sounds good, Mike. Thanks.
Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, digital reporter here at WWL and for Odyssey.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.